It's all about Southampton. The So-So Show with Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark.
Hello and welcome to The So-So Show with Visit Southampton. Light up your social life. It's a weekly look at life in the city, hosted by her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. Now this week, we talk Southampton City of Culture Bid with Satvir Kaur.
How do we make it world class so it offers future generations a city to be proud of, that they can grow up in, that they can grow old in and have a cracking good time.
And discover a local organic vegan friendly skincare range which is getting a great deal of international attention.
When I get that 5-star review, the buzz, oh my God, the buzz, I promise you, is far higher than when I get an order through.
I would urge you to stick around for that interview with Sian because she is so passionate and such a great storyteller. Her story behind the cosmetics is definitely one you won't want to miss.
She's amazing, isn't she? Now, before anything else, well, has happened to you, Simon Clark.
So we've had to go back to doing the podcast the old-fashioned way, which is Zoe in her house and me in my house, because I have fractured my ankle. What I've done is I've fractured my tibia, my fibia, and my Taylor Swift, which in the trade they refer to as a Taylor Swift.
Tibia, fibia, and a Taylor Swift. Lovely.
So I am not really able to go anywhere for a couple of weeks until they put me in a cast properly. They've had to run a wire through the bones to join it all back together. I have to say, the care I received at the Southants Walk-In Centre was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And then they transferred me to the General, and the care I received at the General was absolutely fantastic as well. And I know that the ambulance service is under pressure. I know the hospitals are already under quite a bit of pressure as we head into the winter period, but none of that was shown by any of the staff. And the other thing that was quite interesting, there was a chap in a bed opposite me, and you might remember this story. There was an accident recently on the Marchwood bypass,
okay,
with a head-on collision which closed the Marchwood bypass.
Yeah.
And the gentleman in the bed opposite me was in the car that was hit by the other vehicle.
Okay.
He's going to be in there for months. He's having to have his elbow replaced, loads of other things done to him. But you've never seen a guy with such a great spirit and such a great sense of humour,
oh, wow,
than this guy who's been on the receiving end of some life-changing injuries. And I think it just puts everything into perspective for you. And for me, being able to not go anywhere or do anything for potentially 6 weeks has given me a brilliant opportunity just to completely reset my life.
Okay, yeah. I mean, from your sofa.
Well, initially, I started binge watching, and there wasn't a lot more I could do in the hospital apart from binge watch. So I found this series on Netflix called The Movies That Made Us, and it's basically the background stories behind all kinds of classic films. So I watched Aliens. I watched the one on Die Hard, which was brilliant. You know that scene where Hans Gruber drops down the side of the Nakatomi Plaza and he's got that fear in his eyes? The reason that they've got that fear in Alan Rickman's eyes is because they were holding him and they were going to give him a 3-2-1 countdown. They let him go after 2.
That's brilliant.
And that's why he looks so full of fear as he's falling down the side of the building. It's like a 40-foot drop into one of those big blue bags.
Because he's going in his head, you didn't wait for 3. Well, I'm very annoyed at you, Mr. Clark, because you out-injured me. I was all ready for the podcast last week and going, look, I was at hockey, there was a hit out, the ball lifted, it went smash straight into my kneecap.
Oh.
My kneecap swelled up, but then it ricocheted onto the other thigh and that went all black and blue as well. Then I shut my boot on my head and I had a big lump like an egg coming out of the top of my head. And then you broke your ankle and I'm like, no way! You're totally out, aren't you? You've totally done me.
I can assure you that that wasn't my aim to out competitive injury you. But what have you been up to while I've been sat on my sofa with my leg elevated?
Well, last week I forgot because we'd already had Halloween. So it's my birthday, then it's Halloween, and then it's bonfire night. And on Friday morning, my 8-year-old daughter Lois came into my room and she said, oh, it's bonfire night tonight. What are we going to do? And I'm like, oh. So I gave her the two options, said, do you want to go and see some fireworks somewhere, or shall I find some sparklers, get some sparklers, and then we can just watch them out the window? We're at the top of a hill, so we can watch all of these beautiful fireworks going off. And she went for the latter. So I'm like, right, okay, well, I'll just get some sparklers today. 8 places I went to get sparklers. No, we ain't got any of them. We've barely got any fireworks. And I'm like, oh my gosh. The best story though was in the range in Bitton. I went over to them and I said, have you got any sparklers? No, we ain't got any sparklers. We've got barely any fireworks. There's been a problem with the delivery and we're expecting it on November the 6th.
Oh no.
I mean, the poor guy, he just looked like life had drained out of his face.
Let's just hope they're not getting Christmas crackers delivered on the 27th of December.
Yeah, exactly. I also hosted the Southampton Property Association Ball. So this is 200 people that work sort of within property and, you know, so estate agents and solicitors and all sorts of different people. And they all came together for this ball. You have never seen so much excitement in Grand Cafe last Thursday. There was a band on and it was brilliant. What I found weird was I had been at Grand Cafe for drag bingo exactly the same night a year previous. And that was the day before we got locked down again. And that day last year, I swear, it was like it was the end of the world.
Mm.
And we drank every drop of alcohol out of that building. I'm sure of it. Like everybody just went absolutely nuts. Like, you're never going to be able to go out again. So everybody just absolutely went for it. So yes, 2 different nights, a year apart, but both with masses of excitement.
And huge hangovers the following day, I imagine.
How'd you guess?
So let's get our first guest on. This week, we are delighted to be chatting to Satvia Kaur, who is chair of the Southampton 2025 City of Culture bid. That's such a big title. The first thing Zoe asked is whether she felt the responsibility which goes with it.
It does now, if I'm being honest. When I used to talk about culture years ago, I used to actually get laughed at. Because I think culture is one of those things that people don't often take seriously unless they see it directly impacting their lives and their neighbourhoods. Yeah. But actually, it's been such an amazing journey to go from talking about culture when, you know, you can see people rolling their eyes to now having tens of thousands of people now in Southampton just really excited and getting behind the bid.
Tell us all about it. Tell us the story.
I actually was on the train the other day. This guy I was sitting next to, this stranger, just happened to be living in Southampton. And I mentioned I was a local councillor. He goes, aren't we going for some award? And I was like, oh my God, he's heard. Yes. How exciting. And I was like, yes, we are. It's called UK City of Culture 2025. So essentially, it's a title. It's similar to, the best way I can describe it, it's similar to host cities wanting to host the Olympics. So all these cities bid wanting to host a series of events. This one lasts a year long. The whole process of doing it completely transforms the city. So we've had Derry, Londonderry in Northern Ireland that were successful. After that, we had Hull in 2017. Now we've got Coventry, and previous winners are an example where their entire cities have been completely transformed from millions of new visitors to tens of millions of investment, more jobs, more business, more opportunities for young people. Like, it really has just taken a city and skyrocketed it. And, you know, why shouldn't Southampton follow suit?
I've always said that Southampton is quite bad at shouting about itself. It takes pride in the football team and after that, it's a bit meh. You know what I mean? Like, I love this city and we have all these cruise ships coming in and just the scenes that you see and everything that's going on and all the events and all the different cultures going on. It's a phenomenal place and we should shout about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm born and bred Southampton. I'm from the inner city. And actually what annoys me most about my fellow Sutonians is that we rarely, if at all, shout about how amazing Southampton is. And if we're not going to shout about it, no one else is going to shout about it. And I think we have really suffered from a lack of identity, if I'm being honest. And, you know, I make a point of talking to people on their doorsteps every week, and a lot of people do feel a lack of belonging and that sense of identity in Southampton, and the way they get it is possibly from the football team or, you know, something else. But actually, this is our opportunity to give people a sense of belonging, give the city a sense of identity, so that the 250,000 people living in the city, whether they're in Southampton or out of Southampton, or whether they're, I don't know, getting drunk in a pub in Birmingham, they are shouting about Southampton. And yeah, that's where I want to get to with City of Culture, because we do have amazing green spaces. We've got one of the best shopping districts in the region. You know, we are a international port city. If anything, we've got the busiest cruise port in Europe at the moment. You know, our links are incredible. Our people are even better. You know, there is no reason why Sittonians shouldn't be proud of our amazing city.
When you call it City of Culture, so if I say to my mates, okay, culture, they go, boring, right? And I don't know how you would put it, but I've sort of tried to explain it as in, culture is going to a festival. Culture is being proud of your city. Culture is a sense of community and a sense of belonging. How do you see it?
I'm kind of like your classic free school meals kid, you know, grew up in the inner city. If I'm being honest, I grew up thinking that the world of culture wasn't for me. I thought it was posh theatres and art galleries, and it's just, you know, it's not what I do. And ironically, it wasn't until a few years ago when I became the cabinet member for culture that I realised culture is whatever you need it to be. I actually grew up with so much culture, I just didn't define it as culture. And I think that's the beauty of going for something like UK City of Culture, because it gives us an opportunity to redefine what culture is to us. You know, what is Southampton's culture? Is it all marching to St Mary's on a football day, you know, and those poetic football chants, you know? Is it being in the pub and listening to your mate sing questionably well? Is it, you know,
is that me at karaoke?
We should go out and see. test each other out. Maybe we should do a duet.
Right, this is it. God, we are so on this. You know who we should do? Either Cleopatra coming at you, or Shampoo.
Oh my God, yeah, it's a date. We can put it in the UK City of Culture programme. When the judges come, we can see.
Oh my gosh. And you know what's happening at the beginning of next year? This should be included in the City of Culture.
Oh, absolutely.
There is Barry-oke. Barry from EastEnders is hosting karaoke right here in Southampton.
Oh my God, we're there. I'm there. I love it.
Right, we'll sort out some wigs and we're going down there. We're going to smash it, mate.
Yeah, I mean, culture is, you know, it's what makes life worth living. If the pandemic showed me and kind of the people I know anything, it's kind of, I noticed how people really prioritised on the things that kept them going. Mm. And so much of that, whether that was like you reading the book you never got round to, or that Netflix series, or, you know, the Zoom quizzes that started off as a really good idea and then near the end of lockdown you wanted to gouge out your eyes. But like, that is all culture. And you know, whatever our culture is, and, you know, the team have kind of spent so much of their time doing consultation with all different communities within Southampton in every single ward to ensure that people had the opportunity to tell us what for them is most important to them and what culture is to them. So this isn't about just art galleries and theatres. This is about what is meaningful to the people of Southampton and how do we make it world class and a possibility so it offers future generations a city to be proud of, that they can grow up in, that they can grow old in and have a cracking good time.
What's the next stage? So we've made it through the first round. What happens now?
We were successful in getting down to the final eight. We have to put in a submission for the next round by the end of January, early February next year. And then it goes down to the final three or four, after which we will have the judges come to Southampton to assess Southampton. So, you know, we have to show them a good time.
That's the karaoke night.
We should just, like, when they come off at the train station, we should just have a line of Sittonians, like, singing to them as they, you know, pass the Mayflower.
Saints Brass, there to just meet them off the train.
You know, they're in the park and someone just pops out. We could do a flash mob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. This is why you and I are not running the program. It's like we have proper people running the program. But so the judges come down, we have to present to judges, and then they make a final decision in May.
Even if we don't win, this is great for us anyway, isn't it?
One thing I noticed when we got recently, we got shortlisted, it kind of really made me think about where we started to where we are and that journey to date. Like, I remember, like, when we first start chatting, me saying how I would go in a room and talk about this and people would roll their eyes. And actually, since then, we have generated tens of millions of pounds for the city already. Lots more people are coming to Southampton. There's a lot more job creation. You know, so much, you know, good, amazing stuff has happened to Southampton, whether that is creating civic pride, addressing social need, or growing the local economy through culture to date. And this process has helped make that happen. While it will be incredible to win City of Culture, and we're obviously going to win because we're phenomenal, even if we don't, other cities that have narrowly missed out, like Bristol, for example, which is this big, vibrant, thriving city, the reason why they are where they are is because they went for something very, very similar, narrowly missed out, but then still got a lot of love and investment. So yeah, it's, you know, it's a win-win for us here.
Satvia Kaur, chair of the Southampton 2025 City of Culture bid, and she and her compatriots would be really keen to hear from anyone who wants to be involved with any ideas. You can find them online at southampton2025.co.uk. And she is every bit as lively and bubbly as I was expecting her to be.
Yes, I mean, she's an absolute force. I'm very much looking forward to our karaoke night out, me and Satvia. Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced that's going to help us win the bid, you know.
Hey, look, it's worth a try. Let's throw everything at it, right? Now, we've got to talk about very much a local hero on Saturday nights on BBC One, Kai, who is on Strictly paired with AJ. Those guys are just smashing it. It should have been 4-10s, naughty Craig Revel Horwood last week, for their Charleston. But what was amazing was, so Kai is from Southampton,
yeah,
sort of Eastleigh way. But what was amazing was, when they showed his dad there as a supporter, this is a guy called Tommy Widrington, who is ex-Saints and is now Bristol Rovers director. And I love it when you see the parent and you think, I know them from somewhere. And what are they doing there? And then you realise, oh, they're sort of within that family. I always remember watching the Brit Awards, and there was a girl called Mabel on there who won an award. And she was sat next to a lady, and I thought, that don't half look like Naina Cherry. And it was Naina Cherry,
yeah.
And Naina Cherry is Mabel's mum. And I'm like, what? That's crazy.
It's always funny when you see someone that you recognise in a situation you would never, ever imagine them to be in.
Yes. I remember bumping into somebody in a bookshop in London, thinking I went to school with them, so saying hello and how are you, and then realising I knew them because they were in Brookside. Whoops.
I bet they get that all the while.
Now, Simon, while you've been sat around, have you been thinking about decorating your house? Because this is it. This is Christmas, right? Last week, we looked at all of the Christmas adverts. Aldi win for me.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that many of the Christmas ads, to be honest, because I've been mostly binge-watching on Netflix. But I did, on my way home from the hospital last Thursday, drive down Burgess Road, and opposite the uni, there was a house that had Christmas decoration in the window.
Yes.
Have you got yours up yet?
No, we've just taken down the Halloween stuff. I've still got a pumpkin on the front door. We've got to clear this down first. But my friends have gone for it. So a mate of mine has put all of her Christmas decorations up. I spoke to her on Sunday. She was going to B&Q for new lights and whatever else she could pick up. She has six Christmas trees up.
Six. What?
I couldn't deal with the dust and the not being able to clean round. I find it hard enough having my Christmas decorations up from the beginning of December until just after New Year.
Wow. That's incredible. Six trees.
Yeah.
But it's not that mad, really, that she's already put her decorations up now, because next Thursday, the city centre will be lighting up. The Christmas market opens, the lights are going on. Unfortunately, you'll be sad to learn no flying Santa this year on Above Bar.
As much as we all want to see him, it would mean that everybody would sort of go towards the Christmas market. And what they want to do in Southampton this year is spread everybody out. So we're a bit more COVID safe, you see?
They don't want people gathering every hour just to watch some old fat bloke on a sleigh flying across above Barb.
Why would you be doing that? Not really kidding.
With my leg elevated.
Yeah.
And it also makes sense that they have decided not to have an ice rink this year in West Quay as well. Because the thing is, you can't just have anyone running an ice rink. You need people who are trained to run an ice rink. And if COVID suddenly goes through all the staff and they can't open, then it's not going to be very effective for them. So you can understand why there's no ice rink this year. I'll tell you what is happening this year, though, that's a bit festive. Slade are coming to play the Engine Rooms on the 4th of December.
Yes, on the 4th of December. Wow.
Although Noddy isn't with them. So when they do Merry Christmas, everybody, and Dave Hill shouts it's Christmas, it's just not going to be the same.
No. Okay, so yeah, there's loads of stuff sort of going on Christmas-wise all around. Actually, I've got a few more in the What's Ons coming up just in a couple of minutes.
Before that, though, let's get our next guest on. And it's Sian Louise, who is the founder and formulator of Ovs Skincare. It's a new organic vegan skincare range, which has caught the attention of Vogue magazine, no less. She gave Zoe the story of how it all came about.
Well, OP stands for Organic, Biodegradable, Vegan, Sustainable Skincare. Bit of a mouthful, so I thought I would shorten it to OBS. But it came about because a couple of years ago, I was going through IVF, and unfortunately, it resulted in two miscarriages. However, I've turned that negative into a positive. So long story short, back when I was doing IVF, I had the worst adult acne because of the hormones. I was covered in it, and my confidence was at an all-time low. I was trying all different skincare. I was being prescribed stuff from the doctors, some of the tablets they prescribed me at the time. The side effect could cause infertility whilst I was doing IVF. So I thought, right, I'll stop taking them and I'll see if I can make something for myself. Because everything I was buying online, I was being greenwashed, said that it was organic or vegan, and it wasn't. So I thought, right, let's do some research and see what natural ingredients I can get to help myself. And after about a year of research, I discovered a few ingredients, put them together, and after a lot of failures, I came up with one formulation, which at the time I called Sian's Healing Cream, and it cleared up my acne within a week. And my friends couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And then at the time, my friend had just had a newborn, and he had the worst nappy rash. And again, everything he was being prescribed wasn't helping. So my friend said, let's try some of your healing cream, Sian. What can go wrong? It's natural. And I was like, hang on a minute. Let me get it tested by the lab first, you know. Got it tested, and she tried it out, and it cleared up overnight, his nappy rash.
Wow.
Yeah, so she sent me the before and after picture and I couldn't believe it. Honestly, the tears started coming and that's when I knew I was onto something and I had to make more. So I sent out loads of testers to friends and family. They all loved it and that's when the pressure came to launch a business. And where I'm a hippie at heart, but I'm quite scientifically minded, I'm a vegetarian slash vegan, I wanted to make sure that everything that I do as a business is organic, biodegradable, because I hate plastic and, you know, reuse, recycle, all that. Vegan, obviously, and sustainable. So I made sure that all the ingredients I use are the best you can get in the world. Like the unrefined organic shea butter that I use is from a women's institute in Ghana, and they all get paid a really fair wage. And then all the other ingredients I get from all around the world, that they're all sustainable. Yeah. So there's no sort of pesticides used and everything's fair. And then as soon as my husband saw how great this was working, all the skincare was working, he said, right, Sian, I need you out of the kitchen because you are making a complete mess. And I thought, okay. So he built me this bespoke lab in our garden and it took him about 3 months of solid hard work. And now I just spend all my time in here just creating and formulating all my different skincare. And I absolutely love it.
Tell us about your range of OBS.
So my healing cream now is called the Intensive Skin Recovery Cream. So that's my hero product, if you like. That's the one that's changing people's lives and I've got all the 5-star reviews for. There's also a moisturiser, which is called the Naked Moisturiser. So it's fragrance-free. It's really for people who are prone to sort of eczema or psoriasis. And again, it's completely natural and organic. And then to supplement them too, I've done an evening lavender, which I like, a moisturiser again, which I love using at night. It just puts you into a wonderful sleep. And then the morning mandarin one in the morning, just to perk you up a bit.
Nice. We always like a perk up.
Oh, it's like coffee for my skin. I love it. And then I've got the organic balm that I'm launching now. And like I say, that's for lips, nips and dry bits.
Okay. I just love the way that you put these things. As much as your products are all organic, so are you.
Oh, thanks. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but yeah, it's got to be yourself. Oh yeah, and then the organic balm for dogs.
For what?
For doggies, their little paws. If they get, you know, if they get dry. Okay. Or, you know, like the really fat dogs with all the flaps on their skin.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get sore in there. So it's just put a bit in there for them.
That's brilliant. Would it work on hamsters' feet?
Oh, I haven't tried it on Jackson the Third yet. But then, like I say, I don't test on animals. Well, I'm Leaping Bunny approved. Okay. So if they found out that I was testing on my hamster, I don't think they'd be very pleased. Oh, and I'm Soil Association Cosmos Organic certified. Okay. And Vegan Society certified.
So you've got all of the badges, haven't you? What was your sort of big moment?
Big moment, I got an email from Vogue. I thought it was a scam. So I looked at the email signature and I looked up the lady. I was like, oh no, this might be legit. I even called them just to make sure. Like, yeah. Are you taking the mickey here? But basically said that they've heard about my skincare. I don't know where from. I haven't asked them yet. And they love everything I stand for. And they'd love for my products to be featured. Just a small feature, you know, with other products there as well. And I was like, are you serious? Yeah, send us some photos and some products and we'll put it in a magazine for you. Oh my god. And I didn't believe it until they sent me the magazine and I opened it and it was there. I was like, what? Yeah, and it just blew up from there.
So did you find that there was loads of orders came in after that?
Loads of orders. I wasn't prepared for it whatsoever because I didn't believe it. Believe it till I see it. But yeah, the orders came in. I mean, I sold out the day after I launched because I think it was such a hype from my friends and family. Yeah. So it was like that again. It was like another launch day. And so literally I had to take a couple of days off my day job work, you know, because I work another job as well to supplement this,
right.
To pay off the third round of IVF savings that I've ploughed into this. And I need to pay that off, you know. I had to take a couple of days holiday.
And who would have thought it, right? The girl from Shirley came good, right?
I know. Honestly, my friends and family, they still can't believe it themselves. I mean,
I'm looking at you now and you just sparkle when you're talking about the products. And you're just a sparkly person. And I think, yeah, good for you, right? Couldn't happen to a nicer person. But people think, you know, we talk about this quite a lot, the overnight success. You've put so much work into this, you know, so much research to get those products from all around the world.
Yeah, that's what took the longest. Before I was prepared to launch, I wanted to make sure I knew everything that I was doing, got all the certifications, and I did my research because it's my baby. I don't have children myself at the moment. Obviously, I'm trying, but OB Skincare is my baby. And if I ever got a bad review, touch wood, I haven't had one yet, but you know, I mean, there's trolls, you're gonna get it at some point. That's like someone saying to you, oh, isn't your baby ugly? Yeah, do you know what I mean? Right. Yes, I'm so passionate about it, and it's been the best thing that has ever happened, is to find this and to see that I'm changing people's lives. And when I get that 5-star review, the buzz, oh my god, the buzz, I promise you, is far higher than when I get an order through.
Sian Louise, the founder and formulator of OBS Skincare, and what is not to love about the product, but also about her? She sounds amazing.
She is so lovely. She's one of those people that when you meet her, you instantly know her. She's just a really welcoming, friendly, genuine, lovely, lovely person. I just totally buy into her.
There was an expression she used in that interview as well called greenwashed, which is people buying products that they think are green, but haven't actually done the homework on and then realise that maybe they're not.
Yes. Yeah, and there is a lot of that about, of course.
But we wish her all the best with it. It sounds like a fantastic product, and we look forward to seeing that grow and grow and grow for Sian. Now, something else exciting has happened this week, which I know your little one has been looking forward to, Zoe.
Yes, this is just phenomenal. And this, honestly, I couldn't be prouder of Southampton when these things happen. So this is the world premiere of Fantastically Great Women Who Changed the World. Now, me and my 8-year-old daughter have been reading the book for sort of probably 2 years. It's not long, it's just that we like to go over it again and again. It has people in there like Coco Chanel, Emmeline Pankhurst. It has, who else do we have in there? Marie Curie, all sorts of amazing women throughout history who changed the narrative, really. And it was written by Kate Pankhurst, who is the great-granddaughter of Emmeline Pankhurst. And that has its world premiere in Southampton at the Masked Mayflower Studios this week. It runs until the 20th. And I promise you, if you've got a little girl, or even if it doesn't even matter, right? Everybody, go get tickets. Go and see this. I've heard it's amazing. I'm going to see it tonight with my little one. And we couldn't be more excited.
And the whole thing has been imagined and conceptualised in the studios at the Mast as well, hasn't it?
Yes. So we've got it here until the 20th of November, and then it goes off on tour. But it starts here, and this is the world premiere. Amazing.
So great that Southampton can be able to lay a claim to the start of that whole process of a show, which I'm sure is going to absolutely fly. Now, something else that I'm excited about, or I would be really excited about if I was able to go and visit it, on Friday, HMV comes back to Southampton.
Yes.
They've opened up a new shop on the High Street, and just that whole thing of going to a music shop, for me, that was basically my entire teens.
Yeah.
I spent too much time and too much money hanging around in record shops when I was younger.
What are they going to sell, though? Will they sell CDs?
They sell CDs, they're selling vinyl.
Yeah.
Anything that you want that they don't have, you can order and have delivered to your home. They've got T-shirts, they've got mugs. I don't know if they've got any of those little button badges that you used to be able to buy with, you know, slogans on. But they're also hoping that further down the line, they'll be able to bring artists in for signings and performances, which I think is a really great thing. Back in the old days, if you had a new band, they'd go and do what's called a radio promotion tour, and they'd sit in a minibus and they'd work their way around the country, going to all of these tiny little independent radio stations, chatting to DJs, telling them what their favourite colour is and all the rest of the rubbish questions that people would ask them. So it gave them the exposure. And now this is going to do the opposite, give them the opportunity to meet fans, grow a fan base by appearing in store and doing a signing or doing a performance.
I think that's the deal with this HMV. It sounds as if it's all to do with that live music. It's about somewhere to bring sort of musically minded people, and they will be having lots of performances, and it's all sort of based around that. So it's really exciting, actually, isn't it? Like HMV, like you say, you grew up in those places, didn't you? Just flicking through the tracks and the 12 inches and or if you were like me, did you ever go up to the desk and say, have you got that song that goes da 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 da?
That was one of the best things about working in a record shop, trying to work out what the hell people were actually asking for.
So, some other things going on around Southampton. This is with Visit Southampton, light up your social life. So, we've just talked about the HMV opening. I think it's going where Topshop was, just outside of Westquay.
Yeah.
We've also got The Wizard of Oz, but this is with a difference. This is the adult version, an adult pantomime. It's at the stage door, and it runs, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, throughout November and December. You can get your tickets by going onto the Stage Door website.
Another great show that I won't be able to visit.
Oh, stop. It's like when you can't have something, you want it more, right? Bless you. Also, in the Marlins, if you remember where the Disney store was, that is now the new Saints store. Yes. Southampton Christmas lights. I know we covered this a little bit earlier, but this is, if you get yourself into town on the 18th of November between 5 and 7, there are all sorts of things going on. There are 10-foot tall angels. There are 7-foot singing robins. There is a living snow globe. There's a bloke with a 8-foot balloon or something. There's all sorts of things going on, and it's all to make sure that we sort of spread everything around the city rather than spreading COVID around a crowd. And even when the lights come to switch on, there will be a countdown and it will be all across the city. So between 5 and 7, that's when you want to get into Southampton city centre.
A city-wide countdown. That sounds quite amazing.
A little bit further along, Saturday 20th of November, that's the Eastleigh light getting switched on by the mayor and Santa. And there's a Victorian theme there, and it sounds just sort of beautiful and magical.
Lovely. So everywhere's starting to get festive, and I can't go and see any of it. What a shame.
Oh, I'll take a picture, or I'll come and pick you up and take you out in the car like my nan.
I'm going to miss the Christmas market this year, actually. That's one of the things I love, just on a cold, crisp evening, walking down above bar, taking in the smells, taking in the sounds. Yeah, I'll miss that this year.
Oh, I'll get you out. Jeez, man.
Well, listen, thank you very much for listening to another episode of The So-So Show. If there's something going on in your part of the city that you think we should be talking about, please do let us know. We're on all of the social platforms.
Yep, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're all over it. And thank you for all of your engagements and all of your contributions. And thanks. I still haven't got those blue spots off my door. I'll tell you about that next week. If there's something going on that you think we should know about, or something you want us to give a shout about as well, then just get in touch through any of our social media.
Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon. And thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Zoe Henson and Simon Clark on Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.